Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Karen. And welcome to In the Spirit of Everything, a podcast of conversations, sometimes with guests, in which we discuss not only everything spiritual, but whatever life throws our way, through the eyes of love, humour, and probably the odd bit of swearing. Sharing how we stay grounded and sane-ish in this beautiful, but sometimes crazy world, hoping to help you along the way too. Hello and welcome to today's episode. So this is part two of our chakra episodes. So how are you doing this time, my love? It's a bit strange, isn't it? Because we've we're recording one after the other. So,
Still a bit snotty, but I'm good.
So right now I should be. I'm not there yet. I'm dreaming of it, but I should. I will be in Thailand now. So yeah, spamming everybody I know with pictures, and they're thinking, piss off.
Yeah, I shall be one of them.
So yeah, not much to say on what we've been doing because we've already told you that in the last one. But we're just gonna continue now with our upper chakras. We are going to start with our heart chakra. I'm not going to try and, you know, without any of these, try and say the Sanskrit words because they just, you know, they don't flow. But the heart is our fourth chakra. And this is obviously in the center of our chest above, you know, where our heart is. Its color is green, but some people would say pink. Either.
I say both.
Yeah, that's right. And its association is with love, compassion, kindness, acceptance, forgiveness, all of those things that we feel in our heart, really. And not just loving other people, but loving ourselves. And it's one that can take a battering, can't it? Our heart.
Yes.
You know, it's the one that we can really feel all these, you know, emotions that we go through, these griefs and traumas, and you know, so it's one that we should spend a lot of time working on. And you know, we do tend to think of forgiveness and love for others, but it's really important that we also look at giving those to ourselves, you know, forgiving ourselves the things that we may not have liked that we've done in the past, or people that we were in the past, and you know, coming to love ourselves for who we are and what we do, because we, you know, we all try our best, you know, and just accepting that you know, we are gonna, you know, we're not perfect beings, so that, you know, so open your heart and be loving not only to others, but to yourself. So when this chakra is balanced, we feel loving, we feel compassionate, we feel at peace. We just feel generally like life's quite good, you know, like we can forgive people for things that they've done. You know, we accept ourselves for our faults. But when this gets, you know, when this becomes imbalanced, we can feel like a real lack of compassion to people. We can feel quite judgmental and not very, very nice, not very kind thoughts towards other people. We can feel quite bitter about what other people have and, you know, compare ourselves to others and think that's not fair. You know, what I should have that. We can overly attach ourselves to people because, you know, there can be that sort of, that person will make me feel better, which is never the case. That comes from within. And the ability to forgive or to move on, to find that sort of like that love that everybody is human and that we all make mistakes, and just to be able to forgive. Nobody's saying you've got to necessarily forget. Things will come, but to forgive, to let that go, because you don't want to be holding that in your heart. So they're all good heart practices. So some of the things that you can do to open your heart. I mean, surprise, surprise, we're going to once again talk about getting outside. So spending time outdoors, especially like in forests, like forest bathing, or, you know, just walking through forests or woodlands or in a park, somewhere that's full of greenery, and just absorbing that. I mean, obviously, because the one of the colours is green, surrounding yourself with greenery is always going to be good for your heart.
Hug a tree.
Yes, hug a tree is a very good thing to do. And sod if anybody thinks you're weird. You know, you need to be a little bit weird. Oh, me too. Me too. My kids, not quite so much when I'm hugging a tree.
No, Stuart walks off when I do it.
Yeah. Rosie at the moment, she'll sort of join in. She thinks it's, you know, like, why not?
Bless
but Molly, I mean, God, yeah.
It's so embarrassing, Mother.
God, Mom. Oh, God, you have to breathe, let alone hug trees.
Taking it a bit far, isn't it? Bless her.
So, no, I've got to say, she's a good teenager, really.
Yeah.
But like breath is, you know, is a really good thing to do for your heart chakra. Just breathing in and focusing on the center of your chest, breathing in and allowing more oxygen to enter your body. So, and you can do, you know, there's loads of breathing exercises again that you can find online everywhere you look. And you can do this as part of your meditation. You know, you can be breathing in the color green, visualizing the color green all around you in your mind's eye. If you can't get to a forest or to the woods, close your eyes and be seated in one in your mind's eye. You know, wearing green, the like oils that you can burn while you're, you know, that to help are jasmine, geranium, pine, rose and ylang-ylang is a very good one for like sort of helping people deal with emotions. And the like crystals that you can use are emerald, if we're lucky enough, aventurine, jade, green tourmaline, green calcite, and again, like rose quartz is a big one for the heart. So you know, practice self-love. So, you know, while you're meditating, sort of focus on releasing sort of doubt and things that you have of yourself and accepting yourself for who you are and letting that self-love flow in. This megahertz for this one is 639. So it's a nice thing to do. I mean, if you've, you know, depending on how long you've got for meditation, you can incorporate all of these things, you know, but you know, just walking around, as we said before, stick some of these crystals in your bra, you know, hold them in your hands, or just have them around you. Just have them around in your house. I bought this great like chain the other day, and it's kind of got like a metal net underneath that you can open up, and then you can put any stone you want to in it. So that's really good.
One of my clients bought me one of those for Christmas. It's absolutely lovely. Yeah.
So whatever you're feeling, you can walk around wearing the crystal that will help. So foods that you can eat, you know, surprisingly greens. And I mean, we all love our greens or not, as the case may be, but trying to eat them not only keeps you healthy, but will also help your heart. So think things like spinach, broccoli, kale, peas, avocado, cucumber, courgette, limes, even like matcha powder or something like that. Like affirmations for your heart. So sitting there maybe with your hands on your heart and say to yourself, I am an expression of love. My heart is open, loving, and pure. I forgive myself and others. I am worthy of love, and I follow the voice of my heart. So, they are very nice. They are very nice. Some of the yoga poses that we can do, again, it's about opening up that chest area. Because we know when we feel hurt, we want to kind of like curl in on ourselves. But this is about doing the opposite and opening up. So like dancer's pose is one of them, which is, you know, quite an advanced pose, like standing on one leg and holding the leg behind you in one hand and kind of trying to kick it up. I mean, it's a balance and it's quite a strong pose. It's not an easy pose to do, but that's a great one if you're that advanced. The Lord of the half Lord of the Fishes. So one leg out in front of you, the other leg crossed over that with your knee bent, so your foot is around your knee area. And either hold the bent knee with your elbow. Some people like to hook their elbow on the outside and twist around. So you're twisting towards the leg the bent leg that's coming round, twisting round to your back. Like, twists are great for releasing lots of emotions. You have the wheel pose, which is we used to all be able to do those very easy when at school. Yeah, we used to call them bridges or so yeah, both feet and hands both on the ground and pushing yourself up so that you look like an arch, but that's called the wheel pose in yoga. And cobra pose, which is probably more accessible to all of us, laying on your stomach, feet, hands underneath your shoulders initially, and push up, but always be mindful not to push yourself up too far, just as far as you can go. There's no points for hurting your back in any of these, so you only ever do what you can do. But again, with all of these yoga poses that we're talking about, you can go online and you can search yoga poses for Mahat chakra, yoga poses for any of the chakras, and you'll get flows and everything in. So just try some, see how it makes you feel.
And on the heart chakra, just going to mention that on our beautiful pets, the heart chakra is obviously in their chest. And again, when you're working, or when I'm working with animals offering Reiki, this is a very common one where I'll hold, because with animals, generally, you're not moving your hands around a lot because you don't want to like spook them, or yeah, you want them to stay relaxed and calm. So quite often I'll hold my hand over the heart chakra and maybe the other one on the tail, on the root. But the heart chakra on animals is where we connect. It's where our communication is. And again, going back to being an empath, most empaths have a connection with animals, and this is where the communication starts coming in. Right. So this is a beautiful one for animals, the heart. It's where we can connect to them. Even if you're not a Reiki practitioner or an empath, but you've got a pet, just a lot of dogs quite like that chest area being rubbed.
I think cats do as well, to be fair. I don't think it's an area that they can really get to but I mean, I don't know about you yourself, but I find, especially like the first time that somebody comes to visit me to have Reiki, the heart is an area that takes a lot, quite often you will find people like that, there's an intake of breath, or there might be that kind of or a sigh. We hold so much around there. It's a massive, as we sort of touched on, it is the center of our being. It connects our upper and our lower chakras, and it's where we feel most of our things. So there's a lot, and people come because they may have just been through things, but we hold on to things for a long time in our heart. Things hit us, don't they? And that's where we kind of store them. So it's, as I said before, it's a good one to work on. It's a good one to work at releasing things from. So yes, enough of the heart anyway. As beautiful as it is, let us now move on to the throat.
Yes, number five, chakra number five is our throat. And this is sky blue in colour. The location, you're never going to guess, is in the throat, and it's connected to communication, expression, truth, authority. The gland that it's associated with is the thyroid. And this is an interesting one, and it's such a common one for people to have imbalances in, for all of us. And I don't know about you, but like when so often if I'm working with someone around their throat chakra, if there is a blockage there, I feel it in my throat. So there's a lot of swallowing
cough, definitely.
yeah.
Or clear your throat. But I also find quite often that there are, it will make the client will be like, oh sorry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, that's a great thing. That's clearing,
Yeah.
But bizarrely enough, I had a lady come the other day who has been to She's like, you know, I apologise for my cough all the time. It's something I've been to the doctors. It's just, it's always there. And I was saying to her, you know, these can be linked to sort of maybe not always being able to say what you're wanting to say and things like that. And bizarrely, throughout the whole thing, when I was working on, she didn't cough once, you know. Amazing. So it just, you know, and I mean, we're not saying that every time you get a cough, that's it, it's because you're not saying something. But sometimes there are these psychological links to these things, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And that is one of the things that the throat chakra is connected with, is it our expression and our speaking, our truth.
But I also find as well that like women, we tend to have kind of like more of the blockage around our throats, and I quite often find I want to kind of, it's the heart and the throat, my hands want to be in the, you know, doing the birth at the same time, because I quite often feel like it's things with our loved ones that we aren't saying, you know, quite often we're not expressing what we want to feel for fear of hurting or upsetting somebody. But strangely enough, I don't often find that blokes' throats are quite as you know, blocked, or you know, like you know, the flow of energy, because I think it's a very big generalization to say they all say exactly what they feel, but I think women, a lot of times we do feel that we're not being heard a lot of the time, and that, you know, so that can be quite a big one.
That's a generational thing as well, and an ancestral thing, because we bring forward like apparently seven generation stuff in our bodies. And if you imagine, seven generations ago, as women,
well, yeah,
we did not have a voice.
No.
So it is
not
a
like
big thing in
lot.
Women. No, not like us now, yeah. And so, yeah, so if it is blocked, you know, it could be that you're, you know, maybe you're a bit shy. And you don't necessarily speak up very much. Like you were saying, Karen, there's that fear of speaking your truth or saying something. It could be that you've got a lack of trust in people as well. And there could be good reason for that you've been let down before. But, you know, trust issues are a big thing. And also being quite secretive and not being very open with how you're feeling, so keeping your cards close to your chest. But then on the other hand, you can also be the opposite to that, and you could be quite gossipy. Yeah. You know, you tend to find some people that just love to chat about everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, could
I think quite often that's a sign of insecurity as well, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
it's
sure.
Like trying to get people to like me, like I can, you know, but
yeah.
What they don't often realise is people are thinking, well, if you're talking about that person like that, well, you could be sad about me.
Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. So the foods for this chakra, again, blue food, so blueberries. Blue raspberries. I've never seen a blue raspberry.
No, I can't say I've seen a blue raspberry.
No. Figs, blackberries, plums, you know, anything that colour. And the oils that are lovely to use, eucalyptus, peppermint, which I love, bergamot, one of my favourites.
Yeah, that is lovely.
And chamomile, frankincense, again, really nice. And the crystals, again, anything with a blue colour, so turquoise, aquamarine, lapis lazuli, I can't speak. the blue yeah. Crystals is
it's,
what you want.
It's because you're talking about your throat chakra. You've lost your art of communication.
Yeah. Exactly that. Can you send me some, please? So some really good practices to do to help with the throat chakra is journaling, actually. So writing down, even if you don't want to write down, just put notes in your phone, however you want to do it, or even speaking a voice note in your phone, but getting your thoughts and emotions out of your head onto paper or your phone or whatever is a brilliant way to help keep this flowing. Really good for your mental health as well. Really
oh, journaling
good.
Is great. Getting it out of your head and onto a paper. And especially if it's something that you're really struggling with, you can write it all down and then set it on fire if you want and
yes.
Be gone with you, you know.
Oh my God, yeah, that's a really good thing to do, especially if you've, you know, finished a relationship or whatever. And there's stuff that often when we come to an end of a relationship, whether it's with like a romantic relationship or even a friendship, there's often stuff that has been unsaid that, you know, probably both sides would have wanted to say, but didn't, you know, as human beings, we're like that, unfortunately. So getting what you wanted to say down on paper, getting it out of your head, and then having a little ceremony and setting fire to it is brilliant. And it really does clear that energy.
Well, that's it. It can get to the point, especially when like breakdowns of relationships in whatever form, you know, that there is that kind of like, you're never going to come to the point where you can agree, you know. So that kind of like, you know, there's always going to be, you say that and they come back with something else. So sometimes just everything that you want to say, get it down, burn it, done.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can
move on.
I can let that go. But like you say, like with the sort of like journey, anything that you're sort of like using your throat to, like singing, like, you know, if you're feeling like blocked or whatever, going and having a good old shout, going and stuck,
oh, God,
getting in your car and screaming at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, and chanting, which I know you quite like doing.
I do
that,
like
don't
chanting,
you?
Yeah, I
and
do.
And it's really powerful.
Yeah.
But also, on the other side of it as well, to listen, to actively listen to people, because I know I've gone through phases in my life or stages in my life where maybe there's stuff going on, me making an excuse here, but I wasn't really listening to people, you know, or I wasn't really hearing them. So really actively listening to someone, taking the time to be present and listen to them, can really help with that.
But that is an important part of communication, isn't it? If you're only ever waiting to speak again, you can't communicate well, can you?
No, no, that's very true. And the massage, neck massage. Oh, I bloody love a neck massage.
Any massage.
Oh, I just want to be touched. Not in an icky way. Well, no, but, you know, just...
Right, reverse.
Reverse. But just, yeah, that's because I'm an empath. I'm so tactile. I just love to be touched. And massage is fantastic.
Or a pervert, whatever way you want to look at it.
I mean, it's however you look at it, right? I'm not talking about naked massage. I'm just talking about stretching out your neck. And, yeah, that really helps with it. The music is the 741. And the affirmations and mantras that you can use, and these are great, is I hear and speak the truth. I am honest and open. I live in authentic life. I have integrity. My voice matters. That last one, my voice matters, is huge, because how many
massive.
people feel like they don't matter from programming from years ago, you know?
Definitely. And so many people feel that they're just not heard, you know, that they're just, no matter what they say, they're just not being heard, you know, and that's horrible, isn't it?
It really is. I think we've all had stages of that in our life. And the yoga poses, over to you.
Okay, so these are all kind of like sort of, as weird as it sounds, kind of like causing a constriction to the throat. So plow pose is, so you start off laying on your back and then bring your feet up and over, trying to touch your feet to the floor over your head. We have our bridge pose, which again, starting off laying on your back, but bringing your feet flat on the floor, so quite close to your bum, and then pushing your pelvis region up into the air. You can keep your hands on the floor, but you can also kind of like hold your bum just to give yourself a bit of like a supported bridge pose. Cat and cow are good, like another two very popular yoga moves. And that's,
yeah, I could do those ones. I like them.
Curling inwards with the cat and arching your back, and then dipping your midriff. So like you're curling your pelvis in, and then raising kind of like your bum up to the sky with the cow pose, and dipping your midriff, and like lifting your head, opening your neck. So curling in with the cat and opening up with the cow, like in an all fours position. And another one is the shoulder stand. So similar to the plow pose, but rather than letting your feet go behind your head, just straight up into the air. And you can put your hands in the middle of your back just to support yourself up on that shoulder stand. So yeah, there's some great ones.
Perfect. Thank you. And so Now we're going to move on to the penultimate one, the number six, which is the third eye.
Yes.
This is a good one.
Six in our chakra lines. This is in our forehead, that kind of like not right in between our eyebrows, just a little bit above that. Like kind of like, you know, not depending on how big your forehead, I guess.
Yeah, I've got quite a big one.
Like sort of centre of your forehead. And its colour is like an indigo, a deep dark blue. It's associated with like our intuition and our perception, our imagination, our higher wisdom, and our belief in our, you know, trust in our intuition, I guess, which a lot of us do second guess sometimes. And quite often it's the one that you should be going with. You get that little voice
totally.
Go into your head and you go, oh, no, because we start thinking logically. But, you know, your gut is one thing. You should definitely always listen to that, because there's sometimes somebody walks into it and they make your gut drop or that. And you can try and override that, but listen to that one as well. But your third eye, when your intuition is telling you something, you get a bad feeling about something, you know, somebody's telling you to do one thing, but, you know, it's something in your head is screaming, no, that's not right, do the up, then go with that, because your intuition,
always,
you know, we get taught a lot as we're growing up and things that we're wrong for having these thoughts, and we should just sort of like follow the norm. Well, no. We're
yeah.
here to tell you no.
Yeah, like, totally that.
If something doesn't feel right, it might be right for someone else, but if it doesn't feel right for you, then don't do it, and trust yourself that little bit more, because,
well, it's your truth. Your intuition is your truth. It's true for you.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's you that's got to be able to look back and think that you made that decision or that choice. It's you that's got to close your eyes of a night and feel comfortable with what you did, with what you said, you know, and not just, you know, not just in situations, but, you know, when you've got that kind of like dream that you want to follow, you know, and you've got something that just keeps coming to you, but you but I can't do that because I've got to do that because this is the logical path, then, you know, maybe there is a path for letting that, you know, that imagination and that kind of idea of what your higher self might be
and
wanting.
That's one of the things that Reiki is so good at is heightening your intuition, and actually learning to do Reiki as well is huge for that. It's helping you tune into that, into your third eye.
Definitely. So, you know, when it's balanced, we are feeling quite intuitive, you know, we have sort of clarity of thought. It can also kind of, you know, because it's our third eye, it can affect our vision as well. So, you know, we can have not only you know, like clear vision, but that you can get a lot of effect of like migraines and things like that when your third eye is blocked, can't you? That can kind of like really affect that sort of like you know, blurred vision and things. And we're quite imaginative as well when it's balanced, but when it gets like, you know, a bit locked up, out of balance, or the energy's not flowing, we can feel quite anxious. You know, and that can come from a lack of clarity of our thoughts, because, you know, when we don't know what way to turn, that can breed a lot of anxiety. You know, it can make us fearful. And this is also can be associated with nightmares, if you're having nightmares coming out of things, because it's where all those thoughts are living, you know. So when
can
we
I just say on that as well, that for empaths, the third eye is really important, the same as the solar plexus, because as an empath, our intuition is really heightened and lots of different psychic abilities as well.
Yeah.
And so you need to protect, as empaths, we need to protect our third eye when we're around fairly draining people or high emotional situations. So, you know, having the protecting your solar plexus and your third eye as an empath is very important,
right?
Just
yeah
so
well
I
I, yeah no no great so yeah, when it comes to, you know, like what can we do to help balance these things, so, you know, no surprise, we're going to talk about meditation again, and, you know, visualizing a deep dark blue around you. I mean, you can think of the midnight sky, or, you know, you know, anything that's like a nice deep blue, and you can breathe that in and out. You can like focus on like a candle gazing is a really good way of like of focusing the mind.
You spoke about this, didn't you, with Cass last week?
Yeah, we can, Tridharta, they call it in yoga. But basically, visualize, like, staring at anything. So, you know, a candle is just really good because, I mean, I think most of us find a flickering flame, be it a fire or a candle, it's mesmerizing. That's the one. you know, so it's a very easy thing to just be able to stare at, and just letting your mind wander, letting that imagination flow in. But yeah, so staring at a candle or another fixed object until your eyes want to close, letting them close, trying to keep the image of what you were staring at within your mind's eye, and then opening your eyes when you start to lose that. And you can do that for as little as long as you want to, but that's a lovely a lot of it. But lucid dreaming as well, so you know, if you're having sort of like, I mean, we all have bizarre dreams, but sometimes you have kind of like, you might get repetitive dreams, and I think quite often there's messages in there. I know at points in my life I've had the same dream keep coming in, you know, not necessarily exactly the same, but with similar themes in it over and over again. And when I've looked, it has actually been very powerful.
They're messages, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, after I'd had Rosie, my second child, I kept having this dream that my car was being stolen. And like, I was kind of, it was like one of those weird things. I was kind of like, in my dream, I was like at my family home, but it wasn't where I grew up, you know, but there was kind of like, you know, in your dream when you know this thing, but it's not quite right. It was one of those. And I'd park my car out and then I'd go out and it had just gone. But nobody would help me look for it, and nobody seemed particularly interested in trying to help me find it. And I would have the variation of this dream all the time. So I looked it up, and it came down to like, your car is your sense of like identity. So it was a loss of identity. And I think I had just become a mum for the second time, and I was just mum. I'd lost being Karen, you know. So me and Vic, we actually went to Brighton for the weekend, and I was Karen for like 3 days. It was, you know, and that, which I hadn't been for, like, I mean, you know, I had Rosa when Molly was nearly five. So for 5 years, I stopped being Karen, you know, or just Karen, you know. So and yeah, that dream stopped, you know. So now every time like I start losing my car, I'm like, right, that's it, where am I going now?
so that's interesting, really.
Yeah,
interesting.
And I think there's, you know, you get these repetitive dreams. I mean, and sometimes there's, you know, sometimes they are just weird. Maybe you had a bit too much cheese to eat before you went to bed. But, you know, sometimes they're worth paying attention to because it is your intuition trying to tell you something.
And write them down as soon as you wake up, because we always forget them.
You
so
you
as soon as you wake
day.
Up.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, some of the like the essential oils to use are rosemary, clary sage. Again, clary sage is very good for all, you know, it's a great oil to burn. It helps with a lot of things. Lemon oil, sandalwood, patchouli, nice. Again, and like the crystals and gemstones, amethyst is a lovely one. That's you know, a lovely one for protection as well. Amethyst.
Yeah, I love amethyst.
Yeah, sodalite, that's really great for communications. I quite often, if I've got something that I've got to do, I hold a bit of sodalite in my hands. If I'm feeling nervous about something I've got to do or got to say. Labradorite, which I've got, that's great for like new beginnings as well. Somebody bought me that a little while ago. I've got a bracelet of labradorite.
I've not heard of it.
Labradorite, even. Labradorite. I don't
know. Maybe that's why.
So, but, yes, and then like foods that you can eat, purple potatoes, which I'm not sure I've ever come across those, blackberries, plums, purple grapes, purple carrots, eggplant or aubergine, as we would call it, cacao, you know, I mean, that's good for opening your mind anyway, isn't it, cacao, these ceremonies we do. So, and then our affirmations that we can use. Some of them are, you know, I am insightful and intuitive. I see clearly. I think clearly. My imagination is powerful. I expand my awareness. And the yoga poses that we can use for this, we have like lotus position, which is that, you know, that sort of iconic yoga pose. You have four and a half lotus. I can't get into, I think I've got into full lotus maybe once or twice and then probably couldn't walk for the next day. So, yeah, half lotus. So sitting in cross leg position with your feet on top of your thighs. Child's pose, which is a lovely, that's a really
oh, I love that
pose
one
as well. Yeah. So start off sort of like on all fours, and then you keeping your knees down, you push your bum back towards your heels. And some people they'll be able to sit on their heels. Other people you don't get anywhere near. You can either have your arms out in front, which is really good, but if you've got issues with your shoulders, sometimes that might be a bit strong. So you can also have your arms round by your feet as well. But child's pose is lovely.
Yeah, I did that when I had frozen shoulders. I had to put
yeah
my arms behind. That was
yeah
it was frustrating because it's just the most lovely stretchy pose. It
yeah
really is.
yeah it is gorgeous. Thunderbolt pose, which is like basically sitting on your heels. So you know, your knees with your legs for lower legs underneath you, sitting on your heels and just sitting with a very straight back, hands on your knees, and just it's quite a strong pose. You know, I mean, all of yoga poses you can hold them very loosely, but they're supposed to be strong poses. So you put some effort into holding your spine straight and opening up your, you know, lifting your third eye, keeping your head raised, looking forward. And downward dog, the probably the most iconic of all yoga poses, the downward dog. And this is just great. It's great for, you know, if you do one yoga pose, then probably downward dog's the best one, because it stretches all the way through. So it stretches all the muscles out from the tips of your fingers all the way down to your heels, and it just can make you feel so elongated. You know, that nice sense of you know, I always love yoga. I always come out feeling like I'm sort of like a couple of inches taller, and I think downward dog is one of the best ones for that. But when you do first go into downward dog, be very, very mindful of the fact that those muscles are going to be tight, and just gently pedal your feet before you try and push into any strong version of that. So but yes, I think that's about it for our third eye. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's known as the seeing, isn't it? The seeing chakra.
Yeah.
And then we're moving on to the last one of the main ones, number seven, the crown chakra is known as the knowing.
Yes.
So seeing and knowing. And so the crown chakra is a beautiful purple colour. And interestingly enough, this is the most common colour that my clients, and I'm sure you're probably the same, are, you see when they're having Reiki, is purple that comes through. And it is the top of our head where it is. The gland that it's connected to is our pituitary gland, which is in the back of our head. And interestingly enough, I learned something fairly recently about how to keep our crown and our pituitary gland clear, because it can get calcified by things like fluoride, if there's fluoride in the water or fluoride in your toothpaste. So I went fluoride free about a year ago in my toothpaste, and I've got a water filter now. Because yeah, that can keep, if you've got a calcified pituitary gland, that can affect your connection to the divine, or to the universe, or to above, you know,
the higher energies,
the higher energy, exactly that. And so the crown is connected to our spirituality. This isn't religious, this is, you know, connected to above, to consciousness, to oneness, and to sacred knowledge that is all around
well,
us.
I know, like, one train of thought is that, you know, obviously that's where the you know, like the, I'm not going to say it right, the fontanium or whatever it is, like babies, when they have that soft spot on their head, because that is where kind of like, you know, the soul is supposed to enter the body. And there's, you know, I've heard that the reason that it's soft in babies for a little while is just so that their soul can be receiving sort of like lots of messages, and then it closes up as they've kind of like decided that this is the body that they're happy in, and they've kind of like received all the messages that they need to, and it then closes over and they are
Okay, and then it's too late. You're stuck in the body. You've got to stay. Tough shit. You chose it. You've got to stay with it. Okay. So yeah, the color is violet or purple. And when it is balanced, when our crown chakra is balanced, we have a feeling of connection, a connection to ourselves, but also to each other and to the universe. And as we've spoken about before, we are all connected, like energetically, we're all connected. We're a part of nature. And a huge part of this is having a balanced crown chakra. It's your inner knowing. It's your wisdom that we've all got. We've all got our own answers within us. It's just that because of this human experience that we have on the planet, as it has been up till now, things are slowly changing, even though you might not feel like it. It's been difficult. It's hard to hear our wisdom. It's hard to hear the answers, which is one of the reasons meditation is so bloody important, because it quietens the noise down of all of the crap of the outside and then helps us tune in to our inner knowing. And so if it's in balance, depression can be a symptom of that, feeling frustrated, feeling disconnected. So you're not feeling connected to everyone and everything. You're just going into yourself, I suppose, like you were saying on one of the other ones.
That's it. I mean, it can, some people, it's their, that's where their connection to, if they have a strong faith in a religion, that can be where their connection, it's kind of like, that's where we, like you say, that's where we feel connected to whatever our belief is, that's kind of like where that can be, like that centres from as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really important one.
Yeah.
And again, when you're when you learn Reiki, especially, but even when you have Reiki, opening it up can make such a massive difference.
Yeah.
The answers just come. It's incredible. Like if you are thinking, you've got a big decision to make, and this is one of the things that people will often come to Reiki for. They're confused. They've got a decision to make about, I don't know, maybe a new job offer or a relationship or something, and they don't know what way to go and they can't think. When you open up your crown chakra and you balance it, the answers just come.
Yeah.
Because you know the answer. You just can't find it.
But as well, when that kind of, that crown chakra is blocked, I mean, that is kind of like, that's open to the divine, to that kind of like, so that
the
can
universe.
In turn sort of like affect all of the universe, that divine, that energy that's everywhere. So if it can't come in through your crown, it's your base and your crown are probably, if there's a blockage in either of those, then it's hard for it to get to the rest of them. So it's it's very important to kind of keep it open and to not be closed-minded, to be willing to be open to, what's out there.
And I would think being closed-minded is probably one of the imbalanced ones as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being closed-minded and not being open. So again, meditation, great. And you can visualize, a purple light if you want, coming in through the crown of your head and coming down into your body. Intentional silence, so sitting for periods of time in silence, again, that helps you. It's like meditation. When you switch off the thoughts, that's when the answers come. So silencing the mind is really good for opening that up. Any kind of energy work, of course, Reiki, acupuncture, Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga, acupressure, any of those things are really good. Visualization, so visualizing a ball of violet light above your crown can be really powerful as well. And getting outside in nature, surprise, surprise.
Especially if you can get to a lavender field.
Oh my God, could you imagine? That would be amazing. What a great one to do.
Sit in a lavender field and, yes.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would. that would. Have you been to the ones by you? I went
No,
there
I was just thinking about them. I've still not
They
been.
are. I went with Vic a little while ago, and they, well, probably a couple of years ago, and then I took my mum there like last year because she just loves lavender. You know, if there is a smell that is my mum, it's lavender.
Oh.
So yeah, but they're beautiful there, and it's
Yeah, I must
such a
go.
short window of time that it's open, obviously, when it's all in bloom.
Yes.
So, but yeah, very stunning.
I'm gonna get there this year for
Yeah,
sure.
it is lovely.
And then listening to music. Tuned in to 963 megahertz, or using the sound bowls that are tuned to that. And the affirmations and mantras, actually, I'll do them and then I'll go on to the oils and stuff. So the affirmations and mantras are, I am divine. I am a spiritual being. I am one with all that is. I am infinite and boundless. I am at peace. Sounds bloody good to me.
Yeah, it does.
And the crystals are moonstone, selenite, amethyst again, obviously, because that's that beautiful, beautiful purple color, clear quartz, and the oils, well, of course, it's lavender. Frankincense, that comes up in a lot of them actually, doesn't
Yeah.
it? Sandalwood, I really like that. And white lotus flower, I don't think I smelt that.
It is a lovely. They have that a lot in Thailand, actually. So
Oh,
it
I'd
is
like that then.
quite,
I
yeah,
love the
it is.
smells of Thailand. Yeah.
Yes.
And the foods, so actually it's interestingly with the foods, it says fresh air, sunlight and nature. With this, because the chakra focuses more on fasting and detoxing and the spiritual aspects of the bodies,
So
which is
yeah, less
interesting.
about putting in and kind of like, just
Getting
getting out
out.
and yeah. I mean, nature, being outside. I mean,
Yeah.
this is fundamental to our good health, and I think we spend a lot more time indoors because we have so much we can do on phones and be sort of stuck indoors. We don't have to go out to speak to somebody. We don't have to do all these things. We can sit indoors a lot. But when you actually do get out,
Makes such a
it does.
difference.
But yeah, and I mean that's not kind of like to like excessive fasting or anything like that. But there's a lot of train of thought now for doing these kind of like intermittent fasting. So actually giving your body a break when you're not actually putting food in. So try not to eat after 8 o'clock or before like 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that. Or 8 to 8, just giving your body 12 hours of not having to process any food, so it can actually work on repairing your body, and it doesn't have to be a 12-hour window. It can be a lot shorter than that, so but yeah, just giving your body rest and that sort of detoxing. I mean, we all know that if we've had like a week where we've eaten loads of crap and whatever, you don't feel as good as when you've had a I've had a week when you've it's been mainly like vegetables and all the good things that we should be putting into our body. So it's not to any extreme, and the spiritual aspects of our bodies, listening to our breath, listening, noticing our thoughts, like, and
Yeah,
just
tuning in with
being,
ourselves.
yeah. So,
Connection, isn't it? It's connection to self and
yeah.
connection to others and everything around us, but
And
it starts with
noticing,
us.
yeah. And I think sometimes we take a pause and whatever, we have so much going on that, sometimes you become aware of like where there might be parts of a relationship you can work on, or a friend that you haven't spoken to for a little while and need to look in on. And it's just that it's keeping that connection with us, with the world around us, and with the people that we love and care for.
Yeah, absolutely. And the yoga poses. I actually that can I just say one of the yoga poses? Because it made me laugh when you said it, and I was like, so I can do this one. It's called the corpse pose. You just lie on the
So it's considered one of the hardest poses in yoga, corpse pose. If you've ever done a yoga class, this is the Shavasana at the end of the class. But bizarrely enough, it is actually like a pose that some people do find quite hard, because although it sounds ridiculous, you're laying on the floor, you do nothing. A lot of people do actually find it very hard just to let their body go and relax. So, and when you if you ever have any practices like yoga nidra or anything like that, at the end of a yoga class, the Shavasana is one of the most important parts, because it lets all the muscles relax, it lets the body soak in what it's done, and it gives there's quite often a meditation or a visualization given, or a reading given at the end of a class, that just gives your mind something to think about while your body just rests. And that is very important. And I would say in any kind of exercise, you know, your rest days and the rest is as important as the exercising days.
I'm so good at those.
Yeah. You're halfway there, love, you know.
Exactly. Winning.
But yeah, so Cope's Pulse Pose is a good one, you know, and I would say sleeping is a very good version of corpse pose. So,
brilliant,
you know,
that.
Relax. So,
not so much
scorpion pose, which is, you know, obviously one I do when I get up every morning.
that looks so hard.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, I mean, I would say this is a very extreme pose, but balancing on your forearms, kind of like a handstand, but with your legs over your head. And yeah, sort of. Try not to break your back by the looks of it, but yeah, scorpion pose, not one I'll be trying anytime soon. Headstands are very good, because they, you know, all the blood rushes to the crown of your head. And rabbit pose, so that's kind of a bit like child's pose, but you've actually got the crown of your head on the floor, and you're pushing you kind of like your back forward a little bit more. I actually really do struggle with this pose, although it's not a particularly hard one. I get a faith full of boob, so I can't actually breathe. I can't hold the other pose for very long.
It's not a good one for the big chested. No,
it's really not. All of these yoga poses were, you know, sort of like come up with by like tiny little bendy Indian men. Do you know what I mean? And they didn't think of sort of like us voluptuous women that are like coming along. And so, yeah, I can't hold rabbit pose for very long because I start turning blue.
Get a mouthful.
Meditation is good for all of these things, but it's, you know, it's great for the crown, and sort of like finding, like getting in corpse pose, putting on a meditation that you want to listen to, and just floating away. Well, I might go and do that now.
That sounds amazing. me too. So yeah, they're the seven main chakras.
They are.
Yeah, in all their glory, and as we've said, there's so much more that you could go into, but I mean, it depends how much you want to learn about them. But we work on these seven main chakras when we offer Reiki to people and to animals as well. So yeah, I think it's important to know that they exist, because you can't see them.
But I think, you know, bizarrely enough, when we do Reiki, we work, although whenever we talk about chakras, we work from the base upwards. When we give Reiki, we work the other way down, don't
yes,
we? So we start at the head, because it's inviting that in through the crown to kind of like pass down, and then to bring the light in and to pass through the others, and to end at the base, where we are then grounding you and making you feel safe and secure, you know, at the end of it. So, and there is nothing to say that you've got to meditate on the order that they go. You can start from your crown if you want to and work down. You can just focus on one or two of the others. You know, it's you can do one day, do your crown one day, your third eye the next day, you know, but it's a nice practice to have, isn't it? Bringing yourself into that part of your body.
Your body. You'll be interested. You'll be surprised. You may be surprised at what you feel or sense.
Yeah.
When you're concentrating on that particular chakra or that particular area of your body, give it a go. Give it a go and let us know if you do sense anything or feel anything.
Yeah. And I mean, as we're giving Reiki, I mean, like, you know, that, like the head, people can feel like their heads are buzzing with loads of thoughts when they come in. And when our hands are around that can clear that. We've said about, like, around the throat, that can make people cough. The heart can make people take an intake of breath, or, you know, I don't know if you were around the, you know, when around the solar plexus or the sacral, lots of rumbling of stomachs.
Yes,
go
always.
On
then, and mine know. As well, actually, yeah, while yeah, I'm doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then I find quite often around the base chakra, that's when people's legs and feet start tingling a bit because you know that grounding's beginning to happen, and that kind of like that sense of grounding, and you know, so. But yeah, it's all good. And I mean, you know, in case you didn't know, we're quite big fans of Reiki. So and it is, it's a you know, it's a brilliant tool, but it is not the only thing that you can do. So hopefully some of these things will help, and you know, you'll be able to bring them into your house is going to smell lovely with all these essential oils. You know, you're going to have like sparkling crystals everywhere that you can wear or stick in your bra as and when you feel, you know? And you're going to be as bendy as anything with all these yoga poses that you're going to do. So,
or if you just take one thing away from today, that's fine too. Absolutely. Just to give yourself a bit of time every day.
Yes.
Just to tune into yourself.
A little bit of time to yourself every day is fundamental, as we, you know, to our well-being.
Yeah.
We've definitely.
It's not selfish. It's essential.
It is, absolutely. Absolutely. So once again, I think that's a wrap for today.
It is. And I think the next one will be recorded whilst you're in Thailand.
It will be.
You know, technology permitting.
Well, and that will be the next one that we're going to be recording will be going out then on Valentine's Day. So we are going to center that around love, aren't we?
And that's not just relationships. No, it's going to be very much about love for yourself, because that is the most important thing.
And love for papaya salad.
Oh, I love one of those.
So, I might just write a list of all the foods I've been enjoying eating.
It's going to be a short one, by the way. Make it a short one. Because she's going to really make us all jealous. And no, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good.
Well, you know, actually, I'll try and sit by the sea just to give you all a taste of that as well.
Yes,
you never
please.
Know.
So. Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Okay, then. Well, in case nobody has told you today, we love you very much. And remember to give yourself a little bit of that love that you give to everybody else, because you blooming deserve it.
Totally. And we'll see you next, or hear you, or you'll hear us next time.
We'll be in your ears soon. Take care.
Bye, lovelies. Bye. We hope you've enjoyed today's conversation, and if you have, please rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps other people discover us too. Please share our podcast with anyone else you think may benefit from it also.